This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Another check-in with what's happening with the Oregon State Legislature. The short session underway. State Representative Virgil Osborne from the 2nd District, representing much of Douglas County. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the Senate Bill 1599. That's obviously the hot topic of conversation for both sides of the aisle. Where are things at on this and the attempt to move the transportation ballot measure to the May primary election?
Yeah, so first off, I think we should probably explain what 1599 does and why they want to do it. So 1599 is the bill that takes the tax referral that 250,000 people signed to put that onto the ballot, as opposed to allowing the governor just to go ahead and force it through. It had an injunction on it because 250,000 people signed. And so this bill takes the November ballot, which this is supposed to be on in November, and it moves it to May. So there's been, in fact, again today, there's more hearings on it. It's been some pretty heated hearings. If you've been watching OLUS, there's been some, there's some fireworks, right? Because, you know, the Oregonians don't want to see, they want the governor to be responsible for the bill that she forced down their throats. They don't want this thing moved to May because that relieves it from being on the same ballot as she's on. So as of this morning, I don't have a total count on people that are opposed to moving it, but there are 4,491 entries of testimony. As of yesterday, it was about 3,900 were opposed to moving it, and the number's obviously grown. It takes a while to count them out, but overwhelmingly, 95% plus of the people in Oregon wanted that tax removed. They did not want to pay a gas tax, and this was their voice speaking out. So if the Democrats majority party moves it to May, this is once again telling the Oregon people they don't care what they want.
So where do you think, first of all, where are we at in the process? Is there a point? Well, I guess what I'm trying to ask is how many more discussions are going to be held before there's actually a vote on this?
Sure. Today is the last hearing. I think they had one already. Today at 1 o'clock, there's another hearing, and I believe they added an hour to that, so it'll go till 3. And I know that there are a ton of legislators signed up to testify against moving it first, and they'll be testifying. I have a committee at 1 o'clock, so I can't get away to testify, but they will schedule a work session if they haven't. I guess they already have, probably. The work session will likely be let's see, today is Wednesday, so the work session will probably be either Monday, or they potentially could push it and have it, it'll probably be Monday when they do the work session that will move it to the floor.
And so after that, do you have any idea, are you going to get some Democrats to move your direction in opposition to putting it on May?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I think that the majority of Democrats don't want to do this. I don't think, first off, I'm not against Democrats at all, and I do believe that they want to do the right thing. I think this is 100% our governor forcing them to do it. They're either going to toe the line, or they're going to be in trouble with her, and she'll get them primaried, and you know, potentially they'll lose their seats. But that's typically what this government up here does. Is people are afraid for a primary, so they typically will vote with their party. It's a little different on the Republican side, being the minority party. We tend to vote our conscience, and we vote for the people that we represent. Now, President Wagner in the Senate already said that this is completely political. So, they've all but confessed to the fact that they're trying to do something political rather than what the will of the people is. And it's just a really sad day for Oregon if it gets out of the House and out of the Senate.
Is it really driving kind of everything else, kind of putting a lot of other things on hold?
Well, I thought thought it was until, you know, every day up here in the short session is a new day, and we have something even worse come up just about every day. Some bills have died. Most of the bad ones are still alive, and I was really kind of hoping to see a lot of the really bad bills die. The gun bill is still alive and kicking, although I don't know how much longer it will survive. I don't think there's not much of an appetite on the Democrats' side to pass gun bills right now. I think they've got their hands full with all of the other bad things that they've done, and I think there are a lot of, frankly, in swing seats, there's a lot of folks that are concerned about their seats. But the probably the next biggest bill that's becoming an issue right now is House Bill 1507, and that is the tax disconnect, which basically, if you follow politics, President Trump, his administration passed the H.R. 1, which is a big, beautiful bill. It allowed disconnects from it allowed tax breaks for lots of folks, middle class particularly, including no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and also it allowed you to write off your car interest on your car loan, and amongst many other things, of course. Oregon, as does any state, has the ability to disconnect from federal tax law. And in Oregon, they've decided that they want the money a lot worse than they want to give you an easier way to survive every day and financially be okay. So we have a bill, 1507, that they're attempting right now to disconnect. I believe there's also a sales tax portion of that bill as well. They did put back into the bill, they left no tax on tips and no tax on overtime alone. So you'll lose your break on your car interest loan and other things. It's just a really bad bill. So that's probably the other thing that's blowing up the building right now.
And where is that going next?
That one, I think, has a I'm not sure when the next hearing is on that. I believe they had one already, and I think it came. I believe it came out of the House and headed to the Senate. So I could be wrong on that. I'm not sure. There's so many bills happening right now. I'm trying to track them as I go, but I'm also trying to deal with some of my own.
Yeah, and obviously it sounds like the pace in Salem is moving really quick.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, we literally are hearing bill after bill after bill. I've been in meetings every 15 minutes, every other 15 minutes for four straight days. Actually more than four straight days since the beginning last week. So, yeah, everything's on a timeline. There's a timeline that actually you have to have your work session scheduled. That came and went. So everything's been scheduled for work sessions. And, yeah, it's busy. It's short sessions are always a little crazy, but this one seems to be just a little bit faster paced than the last one that I was in.
For the GOP in the House, you are the whip. What does that put on your plate on a daily basis?
Well, interestingly enough, I just got a visit from HRO, House Republican Office. They asked me to do a vote count from the Republican Party on a bill, and I had to turn it down because I'm actually in here speaking with you today. So the whip is responsible for vote counting, for putting together, keeping the team together, so to speak, and also on the floor. I mean, I'm the, on the Democrat side, they call it a floor manager because they don't like the word whip. But on our side, we call it what it is. It's a whip, and I'm actually the floor manager, too. So I kind of keep an eye on, we go by Mason's manual when we're on the House floor, and sometimes they'll try to pull something over on us that's just not appropriate, and my job is to make sure that we don't let any of that stuff go by. So, there hasn't really been any nefarious stuff happening, and we have a few things here and there that have kind of happened, but nothing real nefarious. So it's been a relatively small part of my position for the last week.
Now, how much of what is getting done or maybe not getting done in this session is tied to people sort of posturing going here into the primary election cycle?
Well, I mean, this is politics, and I think everybody's tied into their campaigns and their election cycles, and I think that's part of the reason why the pace is so fast, because there's a lot of stuff going on that I truly believe that the Democrats don't want to do to the Oregon people. They know some of this stuff's bad, but they have to find a way really quick, whether that be an amendment to a bill or whether that mean maybe even kill a bill or change a bill to make it acceptable so they can push it through so that they don't have, so it doesn't cost them votes. Frankly, that's what this is all about with 1599 and the governor not wanting it on the November ballot, because she knows if it goes on the November ballot, the Republicans will turn out to vote. And if they can get it on the May ballot, Republicans still turn out to vote, but then they won't show up to vote in November. So, yes, this whole session is based on campaigns, sadly, but unfortunately, sometimes the folks that suffer for this are the people that we represent.
All right, going to take a break. Back with more in a moment. It's Inside Douglas County. State Representative Virgil Osborne live from Salem. The interview of podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, it's Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. We'll get an update on agriculture in Douglas County, talk about some upcoming extension events and activities. Live in Salem, it's State Representative Virgil Osborne, where things are moving quickly with the Oregon State Legislature. You mentioned, of course, a couple of big pieces of legislation. Are there other ones coming, maybe not quite on that level, but maybe not that far below, that you're paying a lot of attention to and figure will get a fair amount of notice?
Yeah, thanks again, Kyle. Just about everything is going through my committees, and the committee that is probably the most controversial that I'm on is the consumer protection. Just about everything through that committee has been difficult to deal with. And, you know, I have to laugh, but today I got some crackpot stuff on the internet. Some folks in social media sent some, they know what they're talking about kind of thing. Well, House Bill 4116 is an interest rate cap bill that we heard in committee. And this is to tell you just roughly what we're dealing with. So Oregon has a 36% interest rate cap anyway on you know, loaning money, basically. And what they wanted to do is, there are banks that are outside of Oregon that are able to come into Oregon, and they do loan money, and they actually loan it at a higher percentage than 36%, sometimes based on fees and other ways. It's all bad. There's nothing good about having to borrow money at 36%, and there's nothing great about, you know, the fees that are even higher than that. So, you know, we're faced with a vote on a bill that's like, do we base cap the interest on the banks coming in from out of state and potentially lose those banks, which takes away privileges of people who need that. They need it to survive from time to time. You know, we're talking about loans that are, you know, $300-$500 loans. And so, you know, frankly, I filed a minority report on it. We tried to fight it, you know, and I think it's going to get through. So we'll rate cap those banks, and we'll lose those banks. They won't do business in Oregon because they won't be profitable. So that's just one of probably 100 things that I've been dealing with in the last couple of weeks. Another thing, and this is probably really big news, is House Bill 15. I think it's actually 1541. I believe it's Jeff Golden's climate superfund. And that's not even being talked about yet, but today, I believe, is the hearing on it. And the Climate Superfund says that Oregon has all these natural disasters, environmental threats. They are, and I'll remind you that Jeff Golden is a senator that passed and actually made the whole fire mapping thing happen. Now he wants to charge oil companies, he wants them to pay into Oregon into a super fund because of the damage that fossil fuels do to the state of Oregon. So potentially they'll have to pay a percentage into this super fund in case we have another natural disaster. So they'll lay it all back on, you know, Chevron and Shell and all these oil companies. If you don't think that's going to raise the price at the pump, I don't know what will. So, I mean, these are the things that we're doing this year. It's crazy, and I mean, we fight it like there's no tomorrow. You know, here we are.
What about bright spots or maybe things that have happened so far that you've been happy to see get through?
Yeah, the only real bright spot I've seen in committee right now, frankly, is the governor has a bill, 4084, which is a business development bill. And it is a bill that sets some bars on investment. Her investment bills were, or her investment bars were $150 million, $100 million, and $50 million, depending on whether you were urban or rural. And I was actually able to meet with the governor and have the discussion not only with her office but with her in person. And I lowered the bar on the bill so that we could potentially get some new business. I'm not necessarily talking about timber business. I'm talking about new business into our district. So we've lowered it to $20 million. She started at $50 million. What happens is, if a business moves into town, basically, and they invest that kind of dollars, then they will get streamlined permitting, so they don't have to deal with DEQ and all the other stuff. They will, but it will be streamlined. So, you know, that, those are the kind of things that are good for business in Oregon. And there's other stuff like that that's coming down the pipe. Not everything's bad. We fight the bad as hard as we can, and we try to promote the good as the best we can.
After the revenue forecast, where are things looking at in terms of income and spending for Oregon?
Well, there's, you know, there's a big talk right now about agency cutting. You know, they're going to cut funding at the top, 2% here, 2% there. Today I met with some folks from OSU, and of course, this should come as no surprise. OSU is a rural college, right? I mean, they have the OSU Extension Service, and they fund FFA and many farming programs. And the governor is going to cut that program by 7.5%. Everybody else gets a 2% cut. They get the 7.5% because that's a rural area. And frankly, our governor and our majority party don't have much use for rural Oregon. And frankly, you know, I know people I hear all the time are complaining because they want to see new business come into Southern Oregon that's not timber related. Well, so do I. More than anything else I'd like to see is new business come into Oregon. We fight it daily to try to not let new business come in. That's what this body seems to be doing. I don't know what to say other than we'll just keep up the good fight and try to keep doing the right thing.
Where are things at right now in the midst of all this debate on SB 1599? Where are things at with the Oregon Department of Transportation?
Well, you know, they're pretty quiet, although I think they helped kill my bill. My K-truck bill, I believe, now is dead because they don't want to spend any money at all on hearing it. I haven't heard much out of ODOT. They're going to take a bit of a funding cut too. And frankly, the bill that the governor has put forward now, the funding bill for this entire program, is considerably lower than where she originally went, with no layoffs. But they're not going to fill positions that are unnecessary. So they basically took the Republican plan that we presented almost a year ago, whenever it was in long session, and they modified it, and now they're trying to say it's their plan, and now they're going to say it's a bipartisan plan. And frankly, they have not once, ODOT has not once came to the table, nor has the governor's office came to the table to negotiate with Republicans. They're going to force whatever they want.
Now, if I have it correctly, education in Oregon, you're kind of funding based on a two-year cycle, right?
I believe that, it's a biennium cycle, yes.
So is anything related to education expected to come up in the short session?
Yeah, there's a fair amount of bills. We did vote on some today that, to be honest with you, they're pretty they're inconsequential at this point. They were just some fixes. But there are some bills cooking. I don't follow that committee. That is not one that I'm on, so I generally hear it in caucus when we get together, and they'll tell us about the bills that are coming up, and then we'll see them on the floor. So I don't know the status of that, and I hate to comment on something I'm not that in tuned with.
What about anything coming up at all related to trying to shift the exit of so many businesses from Oregon? Is that even talked about?
Well, I think that's with 4084, the governor's bill, where she's setting those bars for investment. That's her intention, is to try to reinstigate business from leaving Oregon. There's no tax breaks yet, and I don't think there's any to be talked about necessarily. They realize they have a problem, but I don't think they want to face it. We've lost some big businesses in Oregon. We lost Dutch Brothers. We've lost Intel jobs. Douglas County itself, we just lost another 146 timber industry jobs. They know the problem, but no, there is no fix yet coming for it. And they're not listening to the Republican fixes that we have. So, you know, until they decide they're going to do that, right now all she wants to do is get herself reelected, frankly.
We're, for people impacted by the recent RFP cuts, where do they turn for employment?
Well, I don't think those were all necessarily cut. Some of those, I haven't met with RFP, but I think some of those positions were moved, not necessarily cut. I think they moved some to Coquille from what I've read. And that's a very good question. So, you know, a lot of those folks are not, necessarily tech educated or any of that kind of stuff. So they've got to find either other blue collar type work, or they've got to go back to college and retrain, which I think there is state money for that. If you're a displaced timber worker, I do believe there is still an avenue for doing that. You know, part of the problem with this is that the only way mills can survive today, they have to retool, and they have to go, you know, jump into the future. And that does sometimes hurt jobs, right? I mean, you've got a piece of machinery that's replacing two or three people, but if they don't modify and move toward the future, then the mill will just go out of business because they can't be competitive on the market.
What is ahead in the next few days for you?
Well, fortunately, today, because we've allowed bills to be advanced and be third read, we are not going to have floor on Friday. So I'll be coming back into district on Friday. I've got some meetings on Friday, and I think I also have a couple meetings on Saturday as well. But we have lots of events coming up throughout the next 3 or 4 months, actually, on the weekends. But otherwise, I'll be back here. We'll be battling it out with trying to do the right thing for rural Oregon, every day for the next month.
All right, we'll check in again soon. State Representative Virgil Osborne, live from Salem. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.